Hey there, it's Gary Zimak. Welcome to the program. I know, where was I last week? I have to apologize. I had to go out of town to lead a parish mission last Saturday, early Saturday morning, and things just got so crazy. I wasn't able to do the show. I really am sorry about that, but I'm back here this week to take a look at the Mass readings for the third Sunday of Lent. Now, let's put things into perspective here so we understand what we're talking about. In Lent, there are five Sundays. So this Sunday is the third Sunday. Yeah, we're making our way through Lent. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. There are five Sundays in Lent. The next Sunday after that is Palm Sunday. And then, that will, of course, we go into Holy Week then. And then we are at Easter Sunday, which this year is on April the 16th. So that gives you an idea of where we are. We've got some great Mass readings, and that's what we'll do. That's what I try to do on these Friday programs. We look at the weekly Sunday Mass readings. If you have any questions, I seem a little out of practice because I missed a week of the show. If you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. It's been a really busy Lenten season. I just got back from Florida. I led a great parish mission. It was just powerful. I had a great time, met some wonderful people at Our Lady of Light Catholic Community in Fort Myers, Florida. This week, I'm headed to Sewell, New Jersey at Holy Family Parish. I still have two more parish missions during Lent and a men's conference in Erie, Pennsylvania. So it's a busy Lent, but I'm glad that we could spend a little time together. Why don't we get right to it? Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. We're so grateful for the many gifts that you give to us, Father. We're especially grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask you to help us during the Lenten season to grow closer to you, to get to know your Son, Jesus, better. Father, we lift up those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who may be struggling with doubt or despair, those who may be dealing with addiction, those who may be dealing with weather-related problems, anyone who is dealing with religious persecution. We also lift up our priests, our deacons, our religious sisters. We lift up our own personal needs, whatever they may be, and we ask you to help us with them. Please, Father, speak through me on this day. Give me the words that you have for us, and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us, and good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And on this day, we ask Saint Patrick, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, today is Saint Patrick's Day, so happy Saint Patrick's Day to anybody out there who is Irish. I know he's a big patron saint for those who are Irish. He's a really good man. There's a lot to his story. If you want to find out more, check it out. Try to do some research into St. Patrick's life. And you may be surprised that he was known for many things. I mean, he's a holy man, did some really good things. And he was someone who was not afraid to evangelize. And I think that's the challenge for all of us. Are we willing to evangelize, to share the good news with those around us? Sometimes it gets a little scary, I'll be honest, right? But that's what we're called to do. What's the secret? How do we get over this? Well, the first thing we need to do is get to know Jesus Christ better. We need to become better friends with Jesus Christ in order for us to become better evangelists. Once you get to know Jesus, you're going to want to do whatever you can to share the good news. And if you have any questions about anything we talk about, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Check out my website, followingthetruth.com, if you want to bring me to your parish to speak. Also remember, if you want to help support the work that I do, including this show, you can make a donation at that same website. I also have Amazon links and Mystic Monk Coffee links. So if you want to purchase your books from Amazon, all I ask is you please use the link on my website to get to Amazon. And that helps me. Every purchase you make by using that link, you get the same old prices on Amazon, and I get a little bit of an extra commission on the sale. And if you're a coffee fan or somebody you know is a coffee fan, check out the link for Mystic Monk Coffee. Again, you can find that all on followingthetruth.com. All right, I think it's time to get to the Mass readings. Let's get right to it now. The Gospel today is one of my favorite Gospels. It's so great how the Church picks out these readings during the Lenten season. Unlike ordinary time, where the readings progress basically sequentially, during Lent, the church takes the readings from all over the place, even the daily mass readings, just to weave a story, to weave a path, more or less, for us to follow so that we can grow closer to Jesus throughout the Lenten season. Today's first reading comes from the book of Exodus. And again, this is the third Sunday of Lent. From the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verses 3 through 7. In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? A little more and they will stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" Now, as I do each week, what I'll do is, after we get through all the readings, I will try to tie them all together. But I want to highlight a couple of key points from this first reading. Now, there is a theme that runs through these readings, but there are a couple of other additional points that I don't want you to miss. The people are being led out of slavery by Moses. You and I are on a journey too. Our life is a journey. We are being led to the promised land. What's the promised land? The promised land is heaven. But we've got to go through the desert to get there. And especially during, and the desert is life. We've got problems, we've got difficulties, we've got challenges, all kinds of temptations. It's not easy sometimes, is it? The Lord never said, "Follow me and come to the birthday party." He never did that. It's a challenge, and we're going to have these struggles. And sometimes, just like the people of Israel, we're going to complain. We're going to grumble. We're going to get fed up. We're going to say, "Lord, I'm sick of it. I just want to go back to the way it was. This religion stuff, it's annoying. I can't stand it. It's too hard to be good." We're going to have these times in our lives. This is nothing new. And this is what the people are saying to the Lord. Why? Because honestly, they're being short-sighted at the moment. They don't want, it's funny, they're living as slaves in Egypt. But yet they're thinking back almost with a sense of comfort and they're longing for their days in slavery because they had plenty of food to eat. And they really didn't recognize the fact that there was so much better planned for them, but they didn't want to go through the desert. They didn't want to postpone their gratification. They wanted their enjoyment. So they wanted to go back to the way it was. They didn't want to wait to receive the reward of getting to the promised land. That's like us sometimes. We don't want to do what it takes to get to heaven. And that's why the church gives us the season of Lent, so that we can recognize that we do get attached to many things of the world. We do like comfort. And we don't want to take the difficult path. We want to take the easy way out so many times. And Lent gives us a chance to recognize that, number one, in our lives, and number two, to undergo some sacrifice so that we can learn to control our passions. This is a great time of year. It really is. So that's what's happening here. And you know, here's another good lesson. The people are grumbling to Moses. Moses didn't really sign up for this job, if you remember. Moses was called by the Lord. He tried to get out of it any way possible. But the Lord said, "No, Moses, I'm going to give you what you need." That's the message for us, too. So we don't think we can do it. I can't be good. I can't be holy. I'm never going to make it through this life in one piece and make it to heaven. Well, yes, you can. Can you do it by yourself? No. You're going to do it with the grace that the Lord gives you. The other lesson, and see, there's a lot of good side lessons in these readings that I really don't want you to miss, even though there's one overall theme here. Another lesson for you is what Moses did. He was at the end of his rope. He didn't know what to do, and he turned to the Lord. He said, "What shall I do with this people? A little more, and they will stone me." In other words, he was crying out to the Lord for help. "Lord, I can't do this. You asked me to do something. Help me." And what did the Lord do? He answered Moses. And he told him what to do. He told him what to do. The people were thirsting for water. Now, if you look at it, you look at it from a really high symbolic level, that water is the grace that we need to get to heaven. That water that sustains us in a spiritual sense. That's really what this is all about. And that's this theme you're going to see throughout these readings. But what did the Lord do? He said, Moses, go take your staff, strike the rock. Strike the rock, the water will flow for the people to drink. So you see, the Lord's responding, and he's giving Moses the answer. Moses didn't get that until he asked. Sometimes you have to ask for what you need. Don't hesitate to do that. And the Lord came through. And this would placate the people. And they'd grumble again, because that's human nature. But this is how the Lord answered the prayer of Moses. So a lot of good things happening in this first reading. Psalm 95 is the psalm, the responsorial psalm. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us, for he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides. Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts, as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, when your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works. Now, I hope you caught the connection there between this psalm and the first reading. The days of Meribah and Massa, when the people tempted the Lord, they tested him, though they had seen my works. That's a reference to where they are in that first reading. And I would ask you, if you want this to, and certainly these readings, all of sacred scripture, is directed to us. Sometimes we may make the mistake of thinking, well, this was just directed to people thousands of years ago. Not the case. This is God's word to us. If we look at this message, do you ever grumble to the Lord and say, Lord, you're never going to take care of me in the future. This situation is hopeless. Ignoring all the things he did for you in the past. We do it every day, don't we? We do it every day. And even if not in your life, look at the lives of other people. See, we forget this sometimes. And we get a little annoyed sometimes when the Lord answers other people's prayers in a great way. And we say, you know what? He never does this for me. This guy, my friend John, he needed a miracle. He was at the end of his rope. He was running out of money, and the Lord provided him with the sum of money he needed. Well, you know, that's an example for you, and that should strengthen your faith, because you can rejoice knowing that the Lord comes through. And we look at so many situations that in which he does come through. And in fact, if you look at the Bible, look at the Israelites wandering in the promised land, and you're going to see an example of how the Lord provided for his people. So we can look in our lives. We can look in the lives of the people in sacred scripture. And we can look in our friends' lives and our family members' lives and see the many times that the Lord did indeed come through. And that should inspire us and encourage us with what we face in the future. He's got a pretty good record. He's got a pretty good track record of coming through for us. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person. Though perhaps for a good person, one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a great reading, because this reminds you of the fact of just how much Jesus Christ loves you. He was willing to die for you. even though you are not worthy of heaven, he died for you. He didn't wait for you to become perfect before he was willing to suffer and die and open up the gates of heaven. He died for you, even though you were a sinner. We all are sinners. It just gives you some idea of the love of Christ for each of us. And there's also this theme of the love of God is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The love of God, the perfect love of God, is in your heart, poured out just like water. And this is the theme, the water of eternal life. You see this theme throughout all the readings today. The love of God is in your heart. Well, Gary, you might ask, if the love of God is in my heart, why is it that I can be a jerk sometimes? And we can, let's be honest, we can be that way because we don't often cooperate, or we, you know, whether it's often or not, we many times resist the grace that the Lord gives us to love one another like he loves us. What do we do? Well, that's why Lent is such an important season. Lent's the time to work on this, to recognize that, yeah, we fail. Every day, I am not loving somebody as much as I should in the way that God loves me, unconditionally. I place conditions on my love. I'm impatient with people. And we all do it. We all do it. The first step to getting better is to recognize that you have a problem. We all have a problem. It's no secret that we're all sinners, that we're all weak, that we're all in need of help. And the Lord doesn't expect us to do it on our own. He really doesn't. He wants to help us. Will you let him help you? Then the gospel reading today is going to be a great example. The gospel reading is a great example of someone who encounters Jesus, who encounters this great love of Jesus, who encounters Jesus while she is still a sinner. And when she has that encounter with Jesus, her life is transformed and she wants to share him with others. This is the story that I have lived. And it's probably the story that you may have lived as well. It's the ultimate conversion story. It's a great story. And we read this every year on the third Sunday of Lent. This is a long gospel, so I want you to just chill and listen to this because it's so good. It comes from John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband.'" Jesus answered her, I'm sorry, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Your people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans in that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is just an incredible story. Now, I know that was a really long gospel passage, but take some time, read it over. If you've got one of these magazines like the Magnificat or the Word Among Us, or go to the USCCB, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website, usccb.org, and read the daily mass readings. Look at this reading for Sunday, just, or find it in your Bible. It's John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. Again, it's long, but this is an incredible story. And just to briefly summarize, we have Jesus reaching out to a woman who was a Samaritan. The fact that she was a woman, the fact that Jesus is a man, and the fact that she's not a Jew and she is a Samaritan, all the more reason why Jesus should have, according to the customs of the time, had nothing to do with this woman. But here he is not only speaking to her, but asking her to give him a drink from the well in which she drew the water. And, you know, as the story goes, you may have heard this story in the past. You may have heard an explanation of it. The fact that she's there at noon is an unusual event. Typically, because it's warm at the noon hour, women whose job it was to go get water from the well for their households, they would go earlier in the day. But obviously, this woman did not want to be seen when other women were out getting the water. She went at noon when it would be empty, because she was leading a pretty shady lifestyle. And Jesus reached out to her. Jesus reached out to her. And you see gradually him revealing himself to her, and she comes to know him. Initially, she just calls him sir. Obviously, she doesn't know who he is. And he's explaining about this water of eternal life. That's the grace that we need to get to heaven. And if we seek out this grace given to us primarily through the sacraments, we can also get it through prayer. If we seek out this grace, we will be able to be close to the Lord and one day make it to heaven. Eventually, she gets to the point, and I like where she says to Jesus, "I don't have a husband." Obviously, when he says, go call your husband. He knows she doesn't have a husband. And what Jesus said, his answer is pretty funny. He says, you're right in saying I don't have a husband. You've had five of them, and the one you have now is not really your husband. So in other words, the life she's living is pretty immoral. And she recognizes that he is a prophet at that point. She says, I can see you are a prophet. So you see, gradually, she's coming to know Jesus. And he tells her about the fact that salvation comes from the Jews, that he is the Messiah. She talks about, I know that the Messiah is coming. So she has some knowledge that God will be visiting his people in some way, that a Messiah would be coming. And then he tells her, I am he, the one speaking with you. Now then we have this side story. The disciples, or the knuckleheads, return. And they're amazed that he's talking with a woman. And they're gonna illustrate once again just how little they understand about anything. But if you notice, the woman at this point left her water jar. That's why she was there. And she went in the town to tell others about Jesus. She has an encounter with him, and she goes out and does what? She evangelizes. She shares the good news. And she says, come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ? She didn't say it was definite yet. Could he possibly? See, she's going, she's having this experience that most of us have as we get to know Jesus. Could this guy be the real deal? And she told other people. In the meantime, the disciples come back, and Jesus says, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And I love St. John includes this fact. They say to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? I mean, again, these guys don't get it. But remember, they haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. So it's totally understandable that they don't get so many things. And Jesus said to them, well, this is a great quote from Jesus. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. In other words, I am here. What sustains me in life is to do my Father's will. That is how we should live our life. And unfortunately, our food is often the pleasures, the comforts of this world. That's what sustains us. But during Lent, we're called to take a look at our lives and recognize the fact that maybe we should be more in line with or on board with doing God's will, even if it's a little painful at times. And then we see that many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, he had told me everything I have done. So you see, her witness is having an effect. People believe in him. And many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. So we have that definitive proclamation by the other Samaritans, who now said, woman, you sent us to this guy Jesus, and we know he is the Savior of the world. So I don't have too much time left, but that's a powerful story. He has what you need. The Lord Jesus has what you need to get to heaven. The grace is there for you to make it to heaven. You need to you have that encounter, or make sure you do have that encounter. You meet him in the Eucharist at least every Sunday. You can meet him in scripture readings. You can meet him, and of course this is in a spiritual way, not the Eucharist, but scripture, prayer. You meet Jesus spiritually. You can have a conversation with him, but then you need to get the message out into the world. Tell somebody else about Jesus. You know what it all starts with? It starts with being nice to somebody, smiling, being friendly, and then you might have a chance to open a door. A door might be open, and you may be able to evangelize, to share more specifics. I am just about out of time. This was a phenomenal week when it comes to readings. If you have any questions over the weekend, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Thanks again for your support of this program, your financial support, your prayers. I'm very grateful for all that you do to help keep me on the air and to help keep my ministry going. You're fantastic. I hope to be back with you next Friday. Until then, God bless you. And remember, Lent's not over. Keep on working to get to know the Lord better. God bless you.